And welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm John Wells. I'm here with Lynn Ware Peake. Our next guest, Paul Sutter. He's an astrophysicist, and he's the chief scientist at the COSY Center for Science and Industry in Columbus, Ohio. He's also a podcast host of Ask a Spaceman. Sutter joins us to discuss his new book, Your Place in the Universe, Understanding Our Big, Messy Existence. Now, here's the thing about Sutter. He's both a cosmological researcher and community outreach coordinator for the Department of Astronomy at Ohio State University. What this means is that Sutter explores an in-depth yet accessible tour of the universe for lay readers while conveying the excitement of astronomy. Paul Sutter, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. So as you look out, you know, into the cosmos, what got you interested in all of this?
I think, and I think back, as a kid, you know, I loved space and astronomy and telescopes and books and but also all sorts of other things. I love paleontology and dinosaurs and chemistry and biology, and I think it's just a fundamental curiousness, a curiosity. I think when I look at the night sky, especially a really, really deep, dark night sky, I'm just drawn. I just start asking questions. I start wondering and expanding the level of the questions that I have. And I just want to know how it all fits together.
Yeah. Last week was the 50th anniversary of Apollo 8 when we went to the moon for the first time, and the iconic image of Earth setting with the moon in the foreground was just an extraordinarily powerful photo. Also very powerful was when Carl Sagan, I think it was one of the Mariner missions, had the spacecraft turn its camera towards Earth when it was just a little blue dot, and it showed Earth in the middle of nowhere. Are we really that insignificant? I mean, the universe is very big, and there's a lot of voids in this universe.
There are indeed a lot of voids in the universe. Most of our universe is absolutely nothing. And so from one perspective, there's this wonderful, wonderful contradiction. From one perspective, yeah, we're a mote. We're a tiny fleck of dust in the cosmic landscape. We mean nothing at all. You could erase the Earth. You could erase the entire solar system, and our universe would proceed on without caring. And yet, there is something special about our little blue dot. There's life here. There's vitality. There's something here that is very, very rare in the universe. And so while we don't occupy a lot of volume, we do occupy a lot of density. We do occupy a lot of activity that is rare and very, very special.
Wow. Well, Paul, I'm interested. You know, John and I often chuckle about how many times we discuss with various astrophysics things like quantum theory and black holes and string theory. We still don't really understand it. And so I am curious. Well, let's start with, because you talk a lot about black holes. Talk a little bit about how you and what you want to do is, as you say, bring science to the lay people. And so you use metaphors. So what's your metaphor for a black hole?
I like to talk about black holes and their enormous gravity as a waterfall, as a river flowing to a waterfall. And as you get closer and closer to the waterfall, the current rushes faster and faster. And you can, you know, you can swim, you can fight the current, you can get away from the waterfall. But once you're over the edge, you can't fight back. Yes, you can swim as hard as you want. You can run your motor as hard as it can. But once you're over the edge of that waterfall, there is no going back. And as you're approaching a black hole, you can imagine space-time flowing into that black hole, flowing inwards like a current. And as long as you're outside the event horizon, you can fight against it. You can swim against it. But once you cross that event horizon, once you're over that edge, it doesn't matter how hard you fight, you will fall to the bottom.
Okay, that's good. Well, and while we're at it, let's go really big by talking about the Big Bang, because in your book, you also provide us some stories, anecdotes, metaphors to explain the Big Bang. So what is your theory on it?
So the Big Bang, the first thing I tell people is that the Big Bang is not, it is absolutely not a theory of the creation of our universe. Simply isn't.
Hmm.
Our universe didn't start with a Big Bang. In fact, we have no physical description of the earliest moments of our universe. The Big Bang is instead a story of the history of our universe, especially the very early universe, the early moments. Not the earliest, but the early. It's a story of the expansion of our universe. It's a story of how our universe a long time ago was very, very small and very hot and very dense, and has since has cooled and expanded and grown and developed things like stars and galaxies and planets and people and radio shows. It is that story of the Big Bang, which the Big Bang is happening today. Right now, our universe continues to expand. It's that story of the history. It's looking back into our own past and using the evidence to guide us.
The arrow of time, that's what the Big Bang is part of, I guess.
There is definitely an interesting component. Time plays a role in our universe, where it's an amazing fact that our universe is 13.77 billion years old, and yes, we've measured it that accurately. And the very fact that we can measure it, that we can put a number, that our universe has an age, and that we can know the age, those are two very, very surprising things that didn't have to be true. Our universe could have been eternal. Our universe could have been in a steady state for all of eternity, but it's not. It changes with time. And there's a number that we can attach to it that we can confidently measure. We're surprised that we're even allowed to do that.
Yeah. There's so many big questions out there, and you're a curious person. What one question would you like to have answered?
Oh, it's so hard to nail down just one, but I feel like there's a lot of open questions in astrophysics, in cosmology, the study of the universe. We don't understand the majority of what our universe is made of. A good chunk of our universe is made of dark matter, which is some form of matter that doesn't interact with light. Another giant chunk of our universe is made of something we call dark energy, which we basically have no idea what's going on. We don't understand, like I said, we don't have a physical description of the very earliest moments of our universe. It's beyond our current understanding of physics. There's funky physics happening there in the earliest moments of the universe. There's some funky physics beyond our current understanding happening now. Are they connected? Are they related? Will answering one give us some solutions to the other and vice versa? We don't know. So I can't pick one, because I'll take any of them. I'll take any answer, because it might help solve, put the others in place.
This is so great. Our guest, if you're just joining us, is Paul M. Sutter. He's an astrophysicist, and he's the author of a new book, Your Place in the Universe, Understanding Our Big Messy Existence. Now, Paul, you also are a host of the podcast Ask a Spaceman. And I was just going through some of your podcast episodes. Such great questions. Pretty much, well, I think all of them are questions. Anything from how does one become an astrophysicist to is the Drake equation useful? And so you must have a really great time doing this. And you are really in the field of science communications, which is so important. Tell us about why you chose that.
Oh, yeah, it's been such a fun journey. It's been something in my research career, in graduate school, in my postdoctoral research. It was something I've always been interested in dabbling in. Like, I should do a podcast. I should do one of those things, because I listen to podcasts, and, you know, I think I could do a decent job. And 4 years ago, I started this podcast, Ask a Spaceman, just letting people ask me questions on social media, and then I answer them, and, you know, twice a month, you know, I go through the list and I pick something that catches my eye and take a stab at it. And that turned it very, very quickly, it turned from a nice little hobby side project to basically an obsession. And it turned from an obsession into a profession. And I'm very, very lucky now, 4 years later, that I get to have these wonderful opportunities like appearing on your wonderful radio show, mm-hmm. like being able to write a book, like being able to share these stories of things I know and I love about the universe with other people who are as equally curious as I am.
Mm, that's wonderful. So you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that when you were young or at some point in your life, you would look into the night sky and you were captivated and you just had to figure out, where do we fit into this, and answer the questions that you came up with. But I have to say that I think a lot of people, and to a certain extent myself included, we look up and the questions are so big that we stop looking up somehow because we think it's just so hard to explain. And so mm-hmm. I know that your book is for those people who may not look up anymore. But what would you say to them? What is that thing that you say at cocktail parties that get people to want to look up at the stars and consider the cosmos?
Oh, yeah. And there's no doubt that when you look up at the night sky, either as a kid or an adult, you start asking some really, really big questions like, what does it all mean? What is our place? Is there a plan? You know, are we alone? Those are big questions. And it's easy to shy away from big questions because they seem too big. Like, oh, we're just little tiny people with our tiny little monkey brains. How could we possibly comprehend such things? Well, what's the proverb, like, or the saying? How do you eat an elephant? Like, mm-hmm. one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You see the big question, but you ask smaller questions. One question at a time, one answer at a time, one revelation, one observation, one datum at a time, you slowly build to an answer. You may not get the answers you expect, and that's part of the fun, and you might get distracted, which is also part of the fun, but the journey of trying to answer itself is its own reward. We are all curious. That's part of the definition of being human. We are curious, and science is one way, a very powerful way, of satisfying that curiosity. And that's the journey I take in the book of, here's our universe laid out in front of us. Let's start asking some questions.
And people are curious. It's part of our nature. We're also adventurous. And if you are not interested in the cosmos at all, but you're interested in other things here on Earth. I mean, the smartphone, lasers, which are embedded in so many, many devices today, they all come from quantum. They come from mm-hmm. the quantum world. We would not have them without our understanding of quantum. Will it take you to a higher level of confusion? Will you ever be able to understand what scientists say when they write a white paper about entanglement? No, you won't. It's not going to happen. But your smartphone and lasers, they're quantum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So science is done for the sake of science to satisfy our own selfish curiosity. Also happens to provide all these amazing technological breakthroughs where at one time in one place, it might just be esoteric mathematics being tossed around by a few dozen people tops. And essentially later becoming a cornerstone of our modern world, as in the case of quantum mechanics. In other cases, you don't get any technological benefits. In some cases, the goal is technological benefits, and that's very wonderful, and I really love and appreciate that side of science. It makes people understand science and appreciate science and recognize the value of science. The true value of science is in the pursuit of understanding and knowledge. It also has this wonderful side benefit, which enables, you know, careers that wouldn't normally be enabled.
Your place in the universe, understanding our big, messy existence. Paul Sutter, book is now available. It's a fascinating book, and we thank you for joining us this morning on Cool Science Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
Thanks, Paul.
Great.